You're listening to the Laugh Factory Podcast Network. For more shows, visit the podcast page at laughfactory.com.
It's the After Laugh, After Laugh. Welcome to the After Laugh, After Laugh, After Laugh. After Laugh, man. Go ahead and pull up a chair.
Very good.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the After Laugh. Here we are. I am here with my new friend,
yeah,
Nikki Paris.
Hey,
I
Bill.
Really consider you a friend now.
Same.
When you go on the road with someone, you know what I mean? I think you get to see their true colors.
Yeah.
You've always been a really... I said when we were hanging out with Katie Cazorla, I said, you're suspiciously nice, Nikki.
I don't know why you think that. First of all, I love that you're like, now we're friends. I could tell you had some doubts. You're like, I was on the fence.
Well,
this weekend,
we never
sold.
Really hung out before.
No, why not, Bill? I could be a lot of fun.
You're great.
Yeah.
The way that we first met, I think the first time I even met you was in person over Zoom.
I thought it was at that glory hole. No.
The dime? You mean
it was the dime, I think. Yeah.
The dime.
Yeah.
And I just rolled up because Adam, our good friend Adam Hunter, runs the show at the dime, which is notoriously one of the most difficult rooms in LA.
And not even just as a comedian, just as a person.
As a human being.
You could be shot at any time.
Yeah, the bartender almost died of COVID in that room. So that's how tough that room is.
Exactly. Sometimes there's gunshots. Anything could happen.
Shout out to Brad Schmidt.
Brad. I love, you know, when Brad got COVID, I sent him a message and I think it was creepy and I didn't mean it to be. I didn't realize he was coming from models. I just thought it was like 400-pound people.
And he's ripped.
He's ripped. Exactly. How does that happen?
And he's pretty young. I think he's not even 40 yet.
So I sent him a message. I was like, Brad, I would be really heartbroken if anything happens to you.
Yeah.
And he didn't answer me for like 3 weeks. And my ego, I was like, why wouldn't Brad answer me back? He was, I think, on a ventilator. And I was
he in a ventilator?
Yeah, he was like really sick. But my ego, I had to remember, he's breathing through a machine. It's not about you. He'll get back to you.
They're like, he's on a ventilator. Like, thank God.
I was relieved. I took it personally. I'm very emotional, Bill.
He's about to die. Oh, thank God. I wasn't being blown off.
I hate to say it, but I told him that too. I was like, I have been agonizing.
You think you've had it bad with COVID? I've been. Brad Schmidt.
Yeah. Who's your understudy?
He was my understudy on Broadway in a play called Lombardi, directed by Tommy Kail, who you might have known as the director of Hamilton.
Wow. Bill, now let me, in the understudy world, I mean, Brad's a great guy. This never happened. Yeah. Do you ever have an understudy that you're afraid they're going to poison you so they could go on?
No, I will tell you this. So when the first Broadway job, interesting you said that. The first Broadway job I ever had, I was an understudy to these two guys. It was a play with Sigourney Weaver. And this one guy, his name was Eric, I don't know his name now, but I felt like something was going on with him and Sigourney. I don't know what it was.
You think they were hitting it?
They were just hanging out a lot. They would show up together, like leave together in her limo or car. It was just a little weird.
That is weird.
You know, maybe they're just hanging out, talking about the play and whatever. But he was like this young, kind of like buff, studly dude. Dumb as a bag of hammers. I forget his fucking name, but literally, like, I mean, had to be.
Yeah.
And one time, and you have a sign-in sheet when you go backstage, and I would just go up, and this is bullshit play. Like, sometimes I've only understudied once, but sometimes you understudy, you call in and go, like, I'm here. They're cool. Everyone's checked in. You stay home. Someplace you have to be there for the entire fucking play. This is a 3-hour Christopher Durang play. Had to be there for the whole fucking show, even after intermission. It was going on for, I guess, a couple months. And there's a sign-in sheet. Sigourney Weaver wrote under his name, Eric whatever, and she wrote, phoning it in. And it's like where he would sign his name, wrote, phoning it in. I guess she thought that was funny. I'm in the understudy room. He storms in like, dude, did you fucking write phoning it in? My signature part page? And I was literally like, I think I was playing like Scrabble with like the other understudy.
Because you can't throw her under the bus, right?
I'm like, well, I didn't know it was her. I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. I had no idea. I hadn't seen it. He just comes, he's in a tank top. He's all jacked up on steroids probably. Did you just fucking write that? I'm going, first of all, if you're that insecure about your fucking acting.
Yeah.
That an understudy writes that you're going to storm in, then like maybe quit.
And second of all, put on a shirt.
Put on
if
a
you're
going
to scream,
cut your hair.
You can't.
get a new job. I think he became like a rancher or a farmer.
It sounds about it's not. Sounds like he's got an outfit. Sounds very on brand. Don't yell at me with your fucking shoulders out. That's all I'm gonna do. If you're gonna yell at me and be rude to me, make sure you have
no
sleeves on
bare shoulders.
For it. No.
Yeah.
I won't have it. I won't stand for it.
But women usually have one bare shoulder when they're yelling at you. That's the way it works. So anyway, So Brad Schmidt was about, he was so, you know, he's such a nice,
I love him.
I did feel bad because I never let him go on for me. But he went on for Chris Sullivan, who's Toby and This Is Us.
Right.
Because Chris got the flu, so he got to go on for Sully. But he never went on for me. And I remember I was like, should I let him go on? And I was like, he went on for someone else. Fuck it. There's a certain amount of pride you get by by being in every performance of a run.
And I get that. Yeah. As a gay man who's done theater, you don't miss a fucking show. It's kind of flat. I mean, you're both very good looking guys. I mean, that's when
he's better looking. Let's fucking admit.
You're both good looking.
But he's definitely fitter and he's definitely good looking and he's definitely younger. But I'm all for it. I love Brad.
I would be nervous to see if I did something who my understudy would be. Because it has to be somebody who looks. I did like one project where somebody played my brother, and I saw this person, and I was so offended. I said, "This is the family that you think. I know it's fake and it's acting, but I said, this is the family you think I come from."
Yeah. Well, the real fear for an understudy. I had an understudy to play. I got this play called Burning Blue. You can Google Burning Blue Bill Dawes.
I will.
Google it. There's an article written about me getting fired from the play.
What happened?
I don't want to talk about it. I was naked.
A bitter gay. Oh.
I was naked in the play. There's some funny things about it.
was that what did it in?
Apparently. But and then your fear, you know, you're naked, you're full frontal, you're walking around, and then your understudy has to go on. And when I was fired, and all you think is like, is my understudy going to have a bigger dick? Or
right.
Is my understudy going to be better?
Right.
You always worry your understudy is going to be better.
More girth. There's so many things. Of course.
Maybe he doesn't have a dog leg left.
Right. Maybe he has two balls as opposed to my one.
My one Ilya Kazan ball. That's such an inside
My Lance
joke.
Armstrong.
So, but it's and I've seen it happen. We did another Broadway play, and this actor, who is no longer an actor now, he quit acting. And I don't know if this is connected to it. It's potentially connected to it. He got sick and the understudy went on. The understudy is an actor named Jeff Stills, who's like an old school Chicago actor. And Chicago actors, they just fucking like, they're like the British actors of America. They just roll their sleeves up. It's a job for them. Like real. And he fucking killed it. And everyone who was in the play was like, oh, this is how you do the part. Like, this is how, oh my God, the whole fucking... play works now because having this guy and not to knock Keith, and God bless him, he's getting his PhD at Stanford, nicest guy, but he was not right. He was playing Billy Martin, who was a manager. I don't know Billy Martin if you're ever a Yankees fan. I mean,
I like Daryl Strawberry.
You're gay, but you're from Staten Island.
Yeah, no, I'm a Yankee fan. Can we just so what is it like being naked? And because that's my worst fear. I would not
in a
like
play?
Yeah, like because what happens when your friends and family come?
Make sure you fluff.
But you don't think it's like a little, like, you know, I don't want, some people, I don't want them to see all of me in that way.
I just made sure I had like a little bit of fluff going on.
Right.
Just a little, still hanging.
Just
a little bit of like,
just a little blood flow.
Just a little bit of like puffing out.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Just the tip gets the blood.
Like when you're at the gym and you're walking around at Crunch Fitness, you got to give a little, get a couple flaps just to keep it.
You never know who'll be watching at Crunch.
Nick, I don't appreciate the fact that we've been deflecting from you this whole time.
I'm here to talk about you and your theater career, and I actually have a Tony in the back of my Jeep that's for you. I'm giving you a Tony Award right now, Bill.
Finally. So, Nikki, I want to get to, like, you know, your story.
Yeah.
Because you were doing comedy in New York when I was, too, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, like 10 years ago.
10 years ago, yeah.
I started when I was 17 on a cruise ship. And I had nothing prepared. And
wait, how do you start on a cruise ship?
It was an open mic, and I was with some of my friends from high school. And
so you just happened to be on a cruise ship.
Yeah, and they were like, "There's a yeah." I was with my family and a couple of my friends from high school, right? And I was singing Britney Spears karaoke. That I was not shy about. They were like, "You should do comedy."
Can you sing?
A little bit.
Yeah,
but I'm like Whitney Houston. The drugs have got to me throughout the. I used to have a better voice, but now I have that like, hey, you hear it.
But that's good. People like a little.
Yeah, a little. Right, a little. In case I want to become a phone sex operator, now there's a character to my voice. But yeah, I had nothing prepared, and they like literally forced me to go up, and I just did crowd work, and I made fun of people, and I killed, and that.
And it was natural too.
It was just, like, yeah.
Was it one of those moments like, oh,
I
angels.
Yeah. It was exact. There was a harp, I believe. There was somebody just fingering a harp off on the cruise ship, and then the boat sank. No, but it was. And then after that, I just hit the ground running in New York.
Yeah.
And but I the first time, yeah, I had no material prepared, and I just made fun of people. Which
was that? Was that kind of your allotted role in high school? Were you like the funny guy who was making fun of everybody, and the guy in the bus who had the best Yo Mama jokes?
No.
As a white kid in a black school, yeah. I was never allowed to be the funny guy at all.
I was definitely funny, but I when people used to tell me you should be a comedian, I would get I'd be like, are they saying I'm unattractive? Like, what do they mean by that? So Bill, I fought it for a long time. And then finally it came to, you know, I just thought of like Kramer and like, you know, shoulder pads. And I was like, I thought I dressed nice. Maybe that's what people thought the comedy was.
Yeah.
But in high school, yeah, I was the only gay person in my grade. Actually, in my high school, it was me and one other person.
When did you come out?
I came out when I was 15 out of spite.
Out of spite.
I was in trouble in school, and do you want the quick story?
No, the long story. It's a podcast.
I love St. Patrick's Day. Okay, good. I'm going to give my 14-hour story
it.
Now. There'll be an intermission, just like in Bill's play. I'll be naked when we come back, and I am fluffing as we speak. So I was a big underage drinker. Mike's Hard Lemonade, I am gay, true to form. So we all cut school to go to the St. Patrick's Day parade, and I drank for the first time. I was in Peter Pan in my high school.
Yeah.
And my parents still didn't know I was gay. No, because Peter Pan has to be a woman. I went all the roles that I wanted. Bill, no, unfortunately. I was the brother with the top hat.
Okay.
And I had great hair back then, so I was pissed. I was like, you're going to put a hat on my head? So long story short, we cut school to go to the St. Patrick's Day parade, and our tech rehearsal was that night. I smoked pot for the first time. Any normal person would have went home. We were all drunk. We were 15.
Yeah.
Being a gay man, I had to commit and go back to the school for the final dress rehearsal. So we were wasted. We got there at like 5 o'clock, and who was there but the principal.
Oh my God.
So she was like, I have to call your parents and tell them that like you cut school. The two girls I was with, their parents didn't care. My mom hit the roof. She took me out of the play the night before the show.
Holy shit.
So how did I get back? I came out of the closet.
That's how you got back into the play.
No, that's how they wouldn't let me in it, but that's how I got back at them.
Oh my God.
I was like, you think you're mad now?
Is that really?
So I swear is that to
the
God.
Sentence? It was a sentence of, you think you're mad now?
Yeah.
I'm gay.
Yup. And my dad started crying.
Oh, so they were both in the same room with you?
Yes. Oh, I love to make a scene. It's what I do best. So I was like, how was your day? Guess what? And they were devastated.
Were you still drunk? Were you still a little buzzed?
No, this was the next day.
And next day.
The worst part about this whole experience, the girl who played the kangaroo couldn't see out of her mask, fell off the stage and broke both of her legs. And I missed it. So I was robbed of that experience. When people ask why I'm so angry and why I'm so bitter, it's because I miss moments like that.
And yeah, at that time, no one was videotaping.
No.
Ah, God damn it. I'm sorry.
Me too.
I apologize.
Me too.
This girl breaking her legs dressed as a kangaroo, because that's... Goddamn, world star.
It would have been a viral video. I know. I still don't think my mom really believes that I'm gay. Like, she doesn't like I have a grandpa.
Did she think it's a phase? Do you have any parents who think it's a phase?
I think so. But that's how she felt about me in the color pink. She was like, I remember, I have a vivid memory of her talking about me one time at a family party. And she was like, yeah, he's great. We just got to get him off of liking the color pink. And look at me now. She wouldn't let me take violin lessons because she was afraid I'd be gay. And now I am gay and I can't play the violin.
Oh my God.
So I got robbed.
Well, are you, wait.
I come from a very conservative.
She literally would not let you play the violin.
She thought it was fruity.
Because she thought it would turn you gay. This, I think obviously now people realize nothing turns you gay.
No.
There's no thing that can happen. I mean, I don't know, maybe when you're a
there's
baby.
Things escalate it.
Yeah.
But like Brendan Fraser in George of the Jungle, that did it for me.
That's so that was a real. Here's what I Nikki was working with me this weekend in Reno, and we had a great time. And you killed.
So
and,
did you.
You had a lot of you had a lot of great jokes, and one of the things I really liked about you, really appreciate, is there were jokes, so they had definite punchlines, so they had solid integrity, just as standalone jokes, but they also Now they know you more. They are also completely rooted in your life and true story. So one of the jokes, your George of the Jungle joke, was... is that true? Is that how you first started getting
hard? One of the jokes, my mom is like, you know, I don't think you should get the vaccine because it could affect fertility. And I was like, Mom, you know, it also affects fertility, getting a boner from George of the Jungle.
Yeah.
And that's how I knew.
Was that the Brendan Fraser joke?
Oh, 100%. I said, I want to swing from a rope, Brendan's. I was probably like 6 or 7. I was so, and he's got look like he's a little off.
Oh,
you know what?
I
love that Adele look.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm into that.
Yeah, yeah.
The Adele, like, don't ask him to do long division. That's what I like. Yep. If somebody looks like they might be drooling, that's what really gets me.
When someone reads, you see their lips move. Like, now we're talking.
Exactly.
Have you met Brendan Fraser?
I would like to. Brendan,
God,
if you're listening.
What a great thing to say to him.
Right?
You'd probably really appreciate that.
Yeah. Because he doesn't look like that now.
Is he a tub of goo now?
Yeah, he doesn't look that good. Brendan, I'm sorry if you're listening.
He was the shit in the 90s for a while. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
So is that literally like your first experience like masturbating was George of the Jungle or getting a boner?
I would say my first boner. Yeah.
And did that boner make you go, oh my God, I'm attracted to this man?
Yes. I wanted to live in the jungle. Like,
but before
the gorillas.
That hadn't occurred to you yet?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I did want like Spice Girls figurine. Like I remember one year for Christmas, I got like a Spice Girls figurine set and my dad cried.
Yeah.
He was so upset. So I think the signs were there. Everybody just was praying the rosary.
I'm going to ask you like a really, really delicate question that we probably have to like tiptoe around like a minefield. But do you think that nowadays a kid exhibiting what you exhibited in terms of your proclivities, what you're interested in, what you wanted, would be not forced, but sort of, encouraged to go in the direction of being trans? That is an argument that's happening now that, you know, if a kid starts playing with dolls who's a boy, you're like, oh, maybe this kid's trans. Do you feel, is that something you ever think about? Do you ever think about, like, how you... You know what I mean?
You know, I guess it depends. I mean, it really depends on the person. I guess, yeah, it's more open. You know, people didn't even think about doing that.
Of course.
Back then.
No.
You know, I'm so glad I'm just gay and I'm not trans because I am I can't even dress as a man. I couldn't imagine the pressure that it would. I'd be like Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
Like transitioning and then still being in khakis. Like what, really? Like that was all, you could finally wear G-strings and.
Yeah. So
when you're shopping at Chico's, come on.
So after you came out to your parents and your dad, they both lost it. Your dad,
my dad cried, and my mom, I literally like just like in my act, she came into my room and she begged me to try and be with girls. She was like, "Can't you try for me?" I was like, "I hate you." So no. And yeah, she was. They took it very hard.
It's something that's kind of sweet about that. It's so.
Selfish.
It's so
and sweet.
Selfish.
Yeah.
And also just so, you're that ignorant.
Yeah.
And they just are. People don't know. You know what I mean?
And I have a grandpa who they won't tell that we're not allowed to tell him that I'm gay. And he asked me every Christmas if I have a girlfriend. I used to have a pink razor. He'd be like, "Nikki, no girls?" And I'd be like, "No, grandpa." And I literally was like, "Let's just tell him what's the big deal." Because I was performing in Miami.
Yeah.
And he lives right outside of Miami and they wouldn't let him come.
If he comes to your show,
My mom told me he wasn't allowed. And
oh my God.
They think it'll kill him. I'm like, he's 83, not a wet floor. And he's in theater, Bill. He was in Guys and Dolls at the senior home. So he has to, you can't tell me there's not one gay person in a production of Guys and Dolls.
This is what I feel about old people in general. We always think that they're not able to handle it, or grandma, or grandpa, or the aunt. They've been through some shit. They know. Your grandpa would probably be like, "Yeah, that's okay. I love him. He's my grand," you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm always surprised in my life, not with that, but with other things, that like when I had a daughter from a one-night stand, I was like... You know, graduated Princeton, cum laude. I was like a golden child, and I get this daughter, and I was so terrified. I was like, "Oh my God, they're going to disown me. I'm going to be such a disappointment." And they're just like, "Yeah, we found out. It's like we're here. You know." And my whole life, they've always surprised me because my dad's like a really Republican Trump supporter. Like I always think he's going to kick me out of the fight. But like, I think deep down, you realize. The older you get, that your parents really do just want you to be happy, and they think that is the formula. Like your mom just thinks that's the formula for a better life for you. She thinks she thinks, she imagines you as a gay man, not like she hates gay people, but she just imagines you as a gay man having to live with all the confusion of the gay community and having all the stress of it, having people oppress you. So she doesn't want to see that for you. So she goes, well, just try to be straight because then no one will be after you. You know what I mean?
I think she was afraid I was going to steal her clothes. Maybe that's, I don't know that, but that that's too. Who knows? That could happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would like to tell my grandpa, he has Alzheimer's. There's a 50% chance he won't even remember it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Let's roll the dice, see how he reacts.
Next Christmas, ask you have a girlfriend again, right. And yeah.
Tomorrow's a new day. He may not even remember. He thinks I live in Italy. So he's, I think I could test it out. Every time I talk to him, how's Italy? I'm like, I live in LA. And then he goes, when are you graduating college? I'm like, soon, Grandpa. Now I just play along.
Oh, it's sweet. Is he really that bad?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Nikki. And you also have, how many siblings do you have? You have
one younger brother.
Okay, so your younger brother, who's a big part of your act.
He's the devil.
It's so funny because, so again, like I, and this is what I love about you as a comic. I got to know a lot about you from your
Sorry
comedy because you talked about... And the jokes are so funny that I'm like, this can't be true. But you have a brother who's in a wheelchair, yeah, who has a disease called
spinal muscular atrophy.
Yeah. Spinal muscular atrophy.
And he was so mean to me growing up. So he's in a...
He's your younger brother?
Yeah. He's 2 years younger than me.
2 years.
The wheelchair is like 300 pounds. He used to park it outside the bathroom and keep me locked in there. And I couldn't push... It was like a 300-pound wheelchair, so I couldn't push myself out.
Why would he do that? Just to fuck with
I
you.
Call him Hitler on wheels. You see him, you think it's this cute little kid, and then he opens his mouth and you go, never mind.
What, how's he sound?
He's like a punk.
Does he
and
sound
now
like
he's going through
like
a phase?
Why don't I say Wigger? African American?
He went through that phase.
Yeah.
Now he's Harley Davidson. He's covered in tattoos.
Tattoos.
He looks like he has HPV. He just has that, like somebody that'd be nibbling on a Slim Jim. Like, yeah, he likes that whole look.
Yeah. He likes wrestling, WWE.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Anime porn. Yeah. All that stuff. There's all hentai things in his room.
Does he have joy in his life, or is he just straight up like...
I don't think he could touch his dick.
Oh,
is that what you mean by joy?
Well, I guess like you're describing a guy who just seems like he's angry all the time.
He doesn't really like leave the house.
I know you like... I get the part of you that's like, oh, this fun guy, but you obviously love him.
I love him so much because he could leave or take me. I don't think he's... yeah. No, really.
Really?
Yeah, he's so mean to me, but I think he secretly likes me.
He must.
Like, when I was headlining Caroline's, he complained the whole time. He was like, I heard him talking on the phone. He was like, yeah, luckily there was an elevator.
Yeah.
Or he wouldn't even been able to come in.
Yeah.
He was like, I have to go to a stupid comedy show tonight. So...
Was that the only show he's seen you in?
Yeah. Because a lot of the places have stairs. That's not fun. I'm sorry to laugh at that, but he can't. If there's a ramp, he can't get in.
Yeah.
I could videotape it for him.
Has he ever said nice things to you about your comedy?
No.
Do you do jokes about him?
Yeah,
when he's there?
He likes that.
Of course.
He did. I believe when he went, the first time he sold the material about him, he said, did you hire a Jewish writer? That's what he said to me. I don't even know what that means.
That's a compliment,
I guess. I was like, no, it's me and my fucking pink journal and my tears that are embellished with my tears.
Yeah. And is he... I don't know anything about that condition, that disease. Is it something that has a... Like, is his life going to be a very limited life? Do you know if he's...
He wasn't supposed to live past two.
Really?
Which is crazy. And my mom kept him alive. Yeah, he was... They said they wouldn't live past two.
And so now he's just a walking miracle, like every day, like it could be the last, and who knows, and they have no prognosis for him or anything like that?
I try to remember that when he runs over my foot. I'm like, he's a miracle. And I just have to, you know, remember that when I want to pop a wheel.
Or
roll him down the stairs.
Do you ever tell him you love him?
Yeah. Oh, I kiss him. He wants nothing to do with me, but I... Yeah, no, I don't care. Especially if I get him in a corner, it's hard. It's a big wheelchair. It's hard to make a K turn.
He can't do that electric thing and fucking plow past you.
No. I'm a big bitch. I'm a lot like Hagrid, and I'll trap him and just plant one on him.
Oh,
yeah,
That's so cute.
Yep, right on his little tattoos.
And he'll never say I love you back. Huh?
No, he's always like, yeah.
Aww.
I have a show on this app called Airtime, and he actually, like, they pay audience members to come on and watch. I got him a job as one of the paid audience people.
Yeah.
Never says anything. All he does is critique me on the show. And people are like, oh my God, somebody in the comments is really hating you. I'm like, that's my brother. I wish I could say I'm surprised, but I'm not. True to form.
Yeah.
And he has a service dog, which bothers me, Bill, because he's not blind. So why do you need a service dog? And it's such an my mom thinks that she's like a discrimination lawyer. So some restaurants would be like, you can't bring the dog in here. And it's a whole scene.
Oh my God.
And I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that. Like, we're not enough of a circus show, all of us. We have to throw a dog into the mix. I feel bad for the dog.
Oh my God. Now, how does he feel about you being gay? Or has he always had the same attitude about it?
I don't know. You know what? I think he knew first, because I was always Princess Peach and Mario Kart. My dad was like, why don't you be Bowser? And I always was like, no, I'm a loyal friend. And I'm a loyal, like, I'm a ride or die bitch. And Princess Peach, I don't stray. Yeah. That was always my choice. And he accepted me for that, which I appreciated. He, like, never said anything. Like, when we would play wrestling, I was always like Trish Stratus and Tori Wilson. Like, I was always the WWE divas, and he'd be like, Rikishi. I don't even know if you know these names. I'm really nerding out right now with the wrestling.
Well, I kind of know. I know who's Elizabeth with Macho Man Savage.
Yes. Like, his wife, right? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, she was one of them, too. Yeah. But he accepted me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
We used to wrestle, which is now it sounds like abuse. Now that I'm looking back, I should admit that on here. And one time I accidentally kicked him in the head.
Aww.
It was an accident.
That might have been the thing that kept him alive.
Right. That's actually how he got in the wheelchair. So.
Have you, your story is so unique. Have you thought about making the pilot? I mean, that's such an LA question, but like.
So
Staten
I
Island.
To.
I mean, I lived in Manhattan for so long. Staten Island is such a unique area. It's so fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, you and Pete Davidson are the only human beings I actually know from there, I think. But it's such a it's not New York City, but it is New York City, but it's really not. But it's not New Jersey either. It's its own unique thing. And the accent is also a unique accent that you don't really find.
It's not great.
It's not Brooklyn.
No.
It's not Jersey. I don't know how
Staten Island is the Florida of New York. I think that really encompasses. And
but
you know,
why
we have
is that?
A dump.
It makes no sense. Yeah, there's a huge dump.
That's how I got like. I think that's how I became gay. Was the fumes from the dump? It just I might have did something to my brain. Yeah, there's fumes, and you grow immune to the smell.
Really?
Yeah.
But there's also like a lot of woods there. It's very pretty.
There is. Now we have deer.
Yep,
which
deer,
we never had before. They swam over from Jersey.
Oh, really?
They doggy paddle under the outer. I swear on my life. I was smoking weed on the beach, and I thought it was the Loch Ness Monster. No, it was a deer that swam over from New Jersey.
Staten Island is one of the few places that you can be in New York your whole life and never go to Staten Island.
Yeah. And most people are happy with that decision.
I've been there several times. It's very pretty.
Yeah, it is nice.
Yeah.
You know. The people are animals and very whorish, which I love. It's all about community and where I'm from.
Community spread.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So, God, that's amazing. So you have the pilot question. Have you written it?
So I wanted to write a pilot. I was actually planning on doing it last summer and he didn't want to be involved in it.
Who, your brother? Well,
yeah.
Why would he have to be?
Because I wanted to know his viewpoint of the story. You know, there was, I hope, well, I'm going to say it, Bill, anyway. He's hooking up with one of his home health aides. Hopefully my mom won't hear this.
Health aides.
Yeah, I think there's more than one, but there was one that he was hooking up with.
Now,
she was in a porn.
She was in a porn?
I watched it. I said, that woman made me a quesadilla. And I was like, oh, I hope she washed her hands before she made me dinner that night.
How do you know he's hooking up? Because he told you? Or
my little cousins told me. He would never tell me. So he told my little cousins, and then they told me.
Oh my God. So can he fuck or what's the deal? You don't know?
He can't move. You know, he probably just lays there a lot like me.
But his penis works.
I'm not sure.
Didn't ask him?
I would like to.
That's pretty amazing.
I forgot what I asked him something. Sometimes I forget he's in a wheelchair, even though he's still sitting in one. I asked him the last time I was home something. I forgot what I asked him. I was like, can you help me with something? He was like, I can't use my arms. I was like, oh, thanks for reminding me. Thanks for the refresher.
Oh, okay. So if you write this, you have to have him involved. Otherwise, people will be like, you piece of shit.
But I don't know where the story would go because he doesn't want to do anything. He just wants to sit down and collect Social Security. So that was the real problem, if I could be honest.
The rest
with
of your
you.
Family, you said the rest of your family is like a circus. Like your mom and your dad, they're still together?
My mom and dad work together. So that
they work together?
My dad's an architect. My mom works for my dad. And I'm assuming they do anal on the desk. When the phone doesn't ring, I'm like.
So your mom and your dad sound like they're pretty successful people.
They're smart. They're I don't know what happened.
The normal dump trucks of Staten Island.
No, that's where I come in. But no, they're very, I don't know where I came from, because they're very like, don't make a scene, be quiet, you know, never do anything. My dad's like the most straight edge person.
Yeah.
And my mom too, like very, I don't know where, what happened to me. Something really was off in the universe, but here I am. My mom used to say to me when we were little, you were a handful even more than your brother. One time I actually got into fight because I'd rather have two of your brother than one of you. How fucked up is that? My brother was on fucking like life support. And here I am just trying to dance to Jennifer Lopez, and I'm the problem.
As your your dad come around 100%
on me being gay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know.
Will he hug you goodbye? Or just
he will hug you. Me goodbye. Yeah. Yeah. I've never had a boyfriend, like a serious boyfriend, so I think, which they find shocking. And here's the thing, now, the last time I was home, my mom goes, you know, I'd really like to see you in love, maybe with somebody. I was like, you know, things are bare when now she's telling me to be gay.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't want to date anybody. We talked about this
weekend.
Yeah,
we did talk about this. Nikki, yeah. And Nikki, you're very, I don't want to say cute, that sounds condescending, but you're very cute.
In
you're
the right lighting.
Like if I was a bear, I'd want to get me some Nikki Paris.
Yeah, thank you. I'll take any compliment you have.
No, you're very cute. You're very funny.
Thanks. I'm not good in bed, Bill. I'm very lazy.
That's okay.
I don't move.
Mind if people move. I do all the work.
Fine. People think
I'm
passed
like a caged
away. Rumor has it, like that Adele song. Rumor has it.
You really think you're not good in bed?
I know I'm not good in bed. One time somebody said to me, "Do you want to get on top?" I said, "If I get up, I'm going home." And I meant that. I don't like to sweat. I don't like people to see me vulnerable. I do. People have thought I've passed away in the middle of sex. And then I'm like, how do I get out of here? I'm like, oh fuck, I'm home. Can I leave my own house? And I'm a quitter, Bill. In the bedroom, like I will, the first night, I'm a big blue baller.
What do you mean you're a quitter? You won't finish the job?
No. And some people have yelled at me
so
in the
just
past.
Start blowing and then you're like,
I have TMJ. You know, has anybody ever heard that excuse? It's the perfect one. If you don't want to go down on somebody, I would, but my TMJ. And
oh, and now you can just be like, oh, I can't wait to go down to you. And then they had a little cough.
Right.
Oh, I can't wait to. I'm sorry. I have a little cough.
Right. Whew. Then you have to Purell their dick.
Yeah, and just be like, you know,
it's burning.
They have COVID.
Yeah.
Like, dick, you can't get COVID through your dick. And they're like, wait a second,
yeah,
man. You know, that might be the move.
Maybe that is the move. Can you get COVID
from a dick?
From a dick, yeah.
I'm sure.
If anybody's listening in and works for the CDC.
Epidemiologists listening. So your Staten Island life sounds really fascinating.
Yeah.
You were in New York. Mm-hmm. What were the rooms you were doing in New York? You were doing like
Broadway Comedy Club, the Comic Strip, but they would only let me do certain shows. Richie told me that he thought I was really funny, but he couldn't use me in the room because I was gay, which I think is hilarious. And he just
he
died, which I'm really sad.
Use you in the room because you're gay.
Yeah, that's basically what he said. He goes, "I think you're really funny, but because his exact words were because of who you are." I was like, Italian? What do you mean by that?
Because of who you are. But that gay shit's gotta go.
Right. But here's the thing. I just found out that my friend, who's not gay, he said the same thing too, and he must have thought my friend was gay. I was like, well, I feel better now that I wasn't the only one. I was I think he thinks that, you know.
Is that why I was never booked at the Comedy Strip? That was gay? Oh, well.
But yeah, Broadway Comedy Club, the Comic Strip, Caroline's.
Yeah.
I just had my breakout artist show right before the pandemic.
Oh,
New York Comedy Club, Stand Up New York.
Yeah.
So I was doing all the rooms.
And you're one of the guys, you roll up your sleeves and you just get to work. You do like, I mean, a lot of things that people say about New York v. LA is New York, you can do 7 shows in a night. If you really just
100%.
Focus, it's not a problem. I've never been that guy. I've never been, the most I've done maybe 4. I've done 3 a lot, but maybe 4, and I'm repeating jokes at that point. I'm like, fuck this, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I feel like doing Greenwich Village, when they book you, Greenwich Village Comedy Club, right on McDougal, they'll book 3 in a row, and then I would have like other spots, and I would feel like running around. You're just asking to show up when on your boob sweat.
Yeah,
like you're just wet and damp, but you look like a wet fucking dog, and I'm like, hi everybody.
Yeah. And you've been in LA for 3 years.
3 years, yeah, and it's crazy. I still can't believe I live here sometimes.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I feel like I look outside and I look at the palm trees. It still sometimes doesn't feel real to me.
You feel like you fit in.
Thank you.
To me, you seem like you fit in. Because L.A. at its best is very friendly.
Yeah.
And very fun. And I think you match that. Like, I could see I could see you being part of the club scene when there was a club scene and just being like a gregarious guy that everyone liked hanging out with.
Are you saying a Coke dealer?
I'm saying that you have a Coke problem. And that's where I'd get my Coke.
When I heard the club guy, that's what I'm thinking.
There's certain guys, like, I've never been that guy. Every once in a while, someone would try to drag me kicking and screaming into like some form of leadership or popularity. And I'm just like, go away. Ugh. People.
I know.
That's all I need right now. People.
I don't want to see people
again. You're great
with
people, though.
I like people, but yeah. I also like being alone. I live alone. I need to have my time to recharge.
And where do you live out here?
I live right by Chick-fil-A, which has been not
ironic.
Good for my waistline. I know. I love Chick-fil-A.
A lot of gay people like Chick-fil-A.
I love Chick-fil-A. It's so good.
I think that, I don't know how you feel about this, but like, because you seem like you're an emotionally evolved person. Whether you
just wait,
because we did a bunch of shows in front of a bunch of Republicans, you know, and you're not. And I've done a lot of shows up in Reno and around America, and there are people like these fucking, even Walter, who I love to death. Walter is like, these fucking Trump supporters, I want to murder them. But you feel like you're a little bit more, you know, you have a,
you know,
even keeled.
I just love people.
Yeah.
I do. And I like hearing people's opinions and different perspectives. And I think it's interesting to go to a different place and be around people. And, you know, I did grow up in Staten Island, so I'm used to all, you know, viewpoints and this and that, you know.
How many gigs have you done, like, in terms of around America? Like, have you been...
Almost everywhere. The worst place I've ever performed was Portland, Oregon. I was opening for Suzanne Westenhofer, and it was a 200 seat theater, and there was 7 seats sold, and there was 7 lesbians, and I said, lesbians don't love me, and I don't know why.
Really? I think historically, gay men, lesbians don't really jive. People don't know that who aren't part of the community. I was in theater in New York, so I know that. But lesbians and gay men, they're not really...
The girl who my first kiss was a girl, and I was the last person on my block to get deprued. A week after we made out, she became a lesbian. And so the lesbians have hurt me, is really what I'm here to tell you. They've bruised me emotionally and physically. And I didn't, you know, I thought it was very romantic. She was in her flannel. You know, she had her rough hands on mine.
Yeah.
Saw me coming. Yeah, lesbians are a hard crowd.
Yeah. Well, do you think that's because they are woke to the extreme right now in general?
I think the leather that they wear weighs them down and it's hard to laugh. That's what I think.
How long ago was this gig?
This was like 2 years ago. And honestly.
Okay. So a two year ago lesbian is different than a 10 year ago lesbian.
Not these ladies. No, these ladies like are definitely that same lady. Like they were. Okay. Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm talking about like the infiltration of the Karen and the woke and the Karen. Like the thing that always blows my mind is all the woke people who make fun of Karens, they don't recognize that they're the fucking Karen.
Yeah.
Like they're the Karens and the woke people. They're the same people.
100%.
I always sound like such a goddamn Republican on this podcast. I'm really not.
This podcast is sponsored by the NRA.
But have you ever had experiences as an adult of homophobia, like where people have, where you're like, Jesus Christ, that's actually like, because I from my point of view, it would be weird to me. I'm always blown away by the shit that they hear. Like the amount of women on my podcast have come here that have been sexually assaulted and or raped. I'm always like 15, they're like, no, like last year. I'm like, what the, it's crazy. So, and then, examples of racism that people experienced, anti-Asian, anti-black racism. And I always like to think that the world is getting better and society writ large is getting more evolved. So
are we?
Well, I don't know, but like something like
hypothetically,
something like homophobia, right?
I almost
feel like that's not a thing of the past, but like I said to you over the weekend, like, you're one of us now, motherfucker. You're a cis white man, you know what I mean? like, well, you're a sissy white man. Hey, guys. No, but it's not, it doesn't feel like the community was so disenfranchised 20 yeah. years ago. And still, obviously, but I'm just curious what your experience of, I know you're not part of the scene, but do you feel like you get treated a certain way?
I mean, the thing at the comic strip, that was like the worst thing that's ever.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
You should get him fucking fired.
He's dead now.
Good.
So,
oops.
And now I think there'll be a new booker. I'm sad he died, but I'm like, now I actually may be able to get up on the house shows finally. You know, not really, Bill. There was one time that somebody wouldn't let me in a bar because I was gay.
Really?
Yeah. It was weird. Yeah, he wouldn't let me in for like no reason. He didn't say it, but I knew that was that. But,
yeah.
You know, I feel like I'm, now being gay is now, well, pansexual and all these different things. Being gay is like, you're vanilla.
Yeah, isn't
you're,
that weird?
You're gay, you're fucking boring.
Yeah.
Now in 2021.
Yeah. If you come out, I know you joke about like, if you came out, you're like, oh, I came out the wrong time. People come out. But
and it
like-
kills me. It kills me. The Bachelor, he's gay. Now he has a Netflix show. I'm like,
he came out, they gave him a Netflix show?
That's what the Netflix show is about. Him exploring.
Oh my God.
With the Olympian guy, Gus Kentworthy. I was like, I've been on my back since I was 17. Where is my show? Okay, I put in the hard work. I've been very bitter.
Oh my God.
I don't want to get emotional here.
Now, here's something I heard that someone who worked in publicity told me. They said, whenever someone comes out on People Magazine, Us, or whatever it is, in a big publication, like, Neil Patrick Harris finally speaks, tells people, it's always because they've been blackmailed. Like, 100% of the time, is because someone said, we got this photo, we got this information, we're going to fucking tell people and dox you, so it's up to you. And then they go, okay, and they get ahead of it. I don't know if that's true. It makes a lot of sense.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has someone ever come out in Hollywood that wasn't pressure to, just because they felt the moral imperative?
They're just like, I like anal.
It strikes me weird that even now,
yeah,
there are people who are closeted. I don't, and obviously that's their choice.
Right. There's still, you know, there's still so many people that they can't accept themselves, and they just, because, you know, it's not even about, I think they just can't accept it.
Yeah.
People always used to like think I was gay, like ask me if I was gay in middle school, and I used to get so upset. I'd be like, I'm wearing paisley. Like, why? How could you ask me that? But I, you know.
Do you know Perez Hilton at all? Are you like friends?
Do you know that Jamie Masada, owner of the Laugh Factory, thinks I'm Perez Hilton?
Keep it going. If it gets you spots, let me
Jamie, yeah, he was like, I remember when, because we spoke on the phone a little while ago, and he was like, I remember you at that Coffee Bean. You told me you wanted to start blogging. And I was like, Jamie, I don't think that was me. And he goes, no, I remember. It was definitely you. I was like, okay. I just want to make sure you remember. What do you say? So he thinks I'm Perez Hilton.
That's so fucking funny. Because I interviewed him on the podcast, and Perez Hilton said that he made it a mission to out people because he thought at the time, and I think this is bullshit, and it was him justifying just being fucking, he thought that he was helping furthering the gay community by making people, like, you had to kind of push the baby bird out of the nest and come out. And there's a part of me that can kind of get that idea. I don't know how I would feel if I was gay. I'm only gay certain days of the week. But if I don't know if I'd ever feel that, like, hey, I have an obligation to make people feel more comfortable about it and feel better about coming out. And they should. And I would encourage that. I don't know. It's a tough one.
I love that that's his explanation, but not for drawing dicks on people's faces for so many years. Do you remember that when he used to literally cum and...
Well, it's so funny because he did my podcast. I was like, what a score. Like, this guy did my podcast. And then I found out that, like, so many people won't fucking touch him or have him on their podcast because
had him on Daddy Issues. I like him.
He was nice to me, but I guess he'd burned a lot of bridges in the past.
There was a whole thing with him, Dean, and Tori because
I don't know what happened with that.
Just recently, I think, like, he came on the show and I thought we were all, like, good friends. Then he, like, wrote this horrible thing about Tori and they got into it. And I'm biased to Tori. Yeah. I love Tori Spelling. So, you know. But he has to be very careful. He is, you know, remember when he almost got arrested? He posted that nude photo of Miley Cyrus and she was underage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, to put him away. He, like, posted, like, a nipple shot of her on the website and it was a big deal.
Oh, my God.
And she wasn't even 18 yet.
Oh, like, I didn't know.
And
that.
At that time, it was like Miley Cyrus's nipples. Now it's not a day if I don't see Miley Cyrus's nipples. I'm like, there's Miley's areolas looking good, Miles.
But I think we're better about the 17-year-old thing now these days.
I would hope. I don't get it. You know, for me, I would never want to be with somebody who couldn't pick up a dinner bill.
Oh yeah. Well, then don't date a woman. Anyway, so
that's very weird to me.
Yeah, I get that. So right now you're single.
I'm
you're
single.
Young. Yeah. 20s. Mm-hmm. Good looking guy. Funny as fuck, as you can tell from the podcast.
Back at you, Bill.
You're working really. If you fucking compliment me one more time,
I love
your
you.
Fucking balls.
I really. I like to compliment.
Don't you fucking compliment me one more
time, Bill? You're
time.
A cunt.
I'm kidding. Yeah, thank you. Oh God, the relief I just felt from that.
Bill is sitting here in his Mr. Rogers sweatshirt and his sweater, and now we're gonna fight.
So things are good, and.
Things are
opening
good.
Up.
Things are opening
up. You start headlining too.
Yeah, yeah. I'll perform anywhere. I'll perform at a Denny's.
What's your longest set you've done so far?
45 minutes.
45 minutes. Do you have all the material? Will you mix it with crowd work or just?
Yeah, yeah. I would probably say it was like 40 minutes of material and like 5 minutes of crowd work. I just love doing crowd work. I love talking to the people.
Yeah, you're really good at it, and you're a really good joke writer.
Thank you.
You're a good combination of likable. Crowd work and jokes. I think you're a unique presence, which is why I put you on my little virtual show so the Laugh Factory people could see
That's
you.
That's right.
And now you're past the Laugh Factory.
That's right.
And now you're doing Vegas with me.
That's right. I'm so excited. I think I'm going to get HPV that weekend. I think it's going to be a memory, Bill.
I want to get you laid that weekend.
Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
That guy, I used to know so many gay people in Vegas. Nice guys.
Yeah.
Not like trash bags. But now I'm an old stud out to pass. I don't know anyone anymore. But that's great, man. So what's next for you on the horizon? What do you got cooking up?
So let's see. I'm a host on LATV's The Zoo, which is airing locally, and it's big in prison, which has always been a dream of mine. Seriously.
LATV's The Zoo? What is it?
It's a Spanish network.
Uh-huh.
And I'm one of the hosts on it. I'm not Spanish, but
Do
I've
you
had
speak
the
Spanish?
No.
Okay.
I don't know how I got the job, but I'm so grateful
just
for it.
Got a great beard that looks Spanish.
I'm Spanish looking. I could barely speak English, but I'm so happy to be on the show. And somebody actually Josh Spears' uncle, who I think was in rehab, saw me on
So prisoners watch it.
Yeah, and which to be on TV while people fuck in the bathroom, it's really all I've ever wanted.
Have you ever gotten any letters from prison? From Folsom?
Do you know I asked for them? They're not addressed to me, which hurts the most. I think they're just general letters to the station, but I would like if a prisoner wrote
me. How long have
you
been doing that?
2 years.
That's such an interesting, odd job. What do you do in that job?
It's like a talk show panel, but I will be honest with you. I love the show. I love the cast. I'm so grateful, and I've learned so much about the Latino experience that I didn't know before.
Yeah.
Sometimes the conversation goes to Spanish.
Yeah.
And I sit there and I smile. And then I'll wait to make a stupid joke, and then I'll go back to English. The only thing I know how to say in Spanish is Crunchwrap Supreme, which is not really that good. But I love the job. I'm happy and I love the crew there. So that's fun to do. And then, I'm just doing stand-up. We're going to be in Vegas with you. We're like Celine Dion. And we're the next icons of the strip, Bill.
I'm kind of bummed Katie Cazorla won't be there with us.
I know.
Maybe she'll come visit.
I know.
It's a very brief stint, so we'll have some other times together.
We're gonna be like, we should start a band, the three of us. We can be like the new Jonas Brothers.
I do think that we're a good combination because you're kind of like, it's like Katie is... I don't know how to describe it. I just feel like the combination, we're so different.
Yeah.
I know
we're all very
different.
Attractive.
That helps. Yeah, we got tight buttholes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we love being on stage. I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
Not every comic loves being on stage.
I Even love being on stage.
And I actually wrote, I wrote to Harry because he was like, how did it go? And I was like, they're great. He goes, I heard good things about, obviously he booked you like immediately. And I said, honestly, Nikki, to tell you, it was an honor to have you guys there because, and I've known Kay for a while, but it was so amazing to have you there because to be in a place like Reno, which is objectively a shithole, no, I shouldn't say that, but
we love Reno,
and the mass of people in Reno, like my heart bleeds for people. Like I look at these people and I just want to hug them and tell them it's okay because they have problems and they're old and they're decrepit and they have all this shit. And I just feel like I can maybe make them laugh and give them a good time. Yeah. And sometimes I bring people on the road. They're like, ugh, I can't believe I'm fucking Reno. Hey, man, let's go to the karaoke bar. Try to get laid. I'm like, and you and Katie are there for the work and for the fun and watching you guys on stage having so much fun. And the audience saw that and they respond. And when they see someone authentically having fun and enjoying being in the presence, even if a joke doesn't land, the, you know, staying in the pocket with the joy of being up there, it's just like a lot of comics won't do that. So it was really cool to watch. I watched both you guys basically the whole fucking week, and it was awesome.
I can't. I'm not going to compliment you.
Yeah, don't.
But what I will say,
kill you in the balls.
I don't want that. I need them in case I decide to procreate and make my mom's dreams come true.
Oh, that's right. You might have a baby, huh?
I would like to have a baby.
You'd be such a great dad.
I really, really want a baby, but I can't change a diaper, Bill. I've come too far. Yeah. I won't. I would have to have somebody do like change the diaper.
No, let's be honest. Mostly women change the diapers,
and I'm fucked.
So you're just gonna.
So what am I gonna do?
But I need now. Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
So you haven't had a boyfriend in a long time. You've never had a real boyfriend.
I haven't had. I won't commit. I don't want to answer to anybody. Yeah. And a lot of the men that do want to date me, there's always something wrong with them.
Yeah, well, that's
either it's like an ear full of wax. There was one guy that I really, really liked. It was the closest thing I actually ever had to. He was going to be like my real boyfriend. Then one night he slept over and I looked in his ear and I said, oh, no. And I was like, do I say something? No, that's rude. Of course I did. I said, if you're going to come over here and put your dirty fucking ears on my pillow, please use a Q-tip.
Oh, my God. And was that it? The last time you saw it, he was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, my God. That's so fucking funny. You're just too picky, Nikki.
I am too picky. Yeah, in my head I think I look like George Clooney, but I'm like Steve Buscemi, so I'm a little like out of my
Michael Buscemi.
The guys
maybe.
That like, you know, I think it's hard being gay and being a comedian. That's truthfully, I think that guys like wait till they find out my parents are Trump supporters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The biggest turnoff, I feel like I have to come out to people. I don't tell people I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
Until and I have to like, oh my God, there was one time when I was in New Jersey. I met this guy on a date, and I was doing the prom show as a Broadway comedy club. So I met this guy on a date at like 8 p.m., right? He really loved me on the date. He was like, I really want to come to your show tonight. Would you mind if I came? I'll follow you into the city with my car. The show started at 1 a.m. I must have said something he didn't like because he left in the middle of my set.
And you never talked to him again?
He never spoke to me ever again.
Did you reach out like, hey, what's up? Did you like the show? Because, I mean, as a comic, you're going to be more insecure than as a human. As a comic, you're like, what the fuck? What do you think you said? Do you best to play it back in your head though and come up with some guesses?
Nope. I was like, I thought I did great.
Yeah.
I was like, here I am. Thought I was gonna crowd surf. Yeah. And he left. You know how humiliating that is? Now I'm like afraid to invite men to see me.
Oh my God.
I'm like traumatized.
No, but at the same time, the guy that likes you is gonna be the guy who watches you and just finds you fucking great. You
know hopefully. What I mean?
Yeah,
maybe not.
I will say this. I will never try to set you up.
Please don't.
My best friend in New York, a gay man, Mark Bennett Casting, is a great fucking guy. I would always try to set him up. And then Jordan Roth, who's a big theater producer, I'd try. It's just never fucking, you can't set up gay guys.
And I get
as
offended.
A straight guy, you can't set up gay guys. Because you have no, you're just like, oh, a gay friend of mine and a gay friend of mine. You guys,
Oh, that happens to me all the time.
There's a lot of, unless you're just like one of those super promiscuous guys, there's just a lot of fucking edges that need to fucking fit perfectly for two guys.
Anal. Oh.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, what?
When anybody tries to set me up, I feel like I wind up getting offended.
Yeah, because think I'm better looking than this guy. Everybody, they go like, you would set me up with him, I'm so much better. Like, they both say that to me.
This is what you think of me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Truth comes out.
Yeah. That's fucking fascinating.
I hate that though when somebody's like, oh, my friend's gay.
You should meet.
I'm like, what are we just going to sit down and like,
how's gay for you?
Right. Oh, how's.
So gay.
Liza, what do you think? Are you a fan? Like, no.
Yeah, but we're going to get you laid in Vegas, man. It's going to happen.
Just wait.
When's the last time you've been laid?
It's been a while. I was seeing somebody on and off. It's the craziest thing, but he's... Okay, you're going to love this. Uh-huh. He's straight, but he...
You're one of those guys who loves to turn the straight boy's arch at you fucking piece of shit.
I was. I've evolved. That was me at one point in time, 100%. I've grown. I've evolved as a man.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've been hooking up like on and off for a couple of years. He wasn't sure if he's gay. After being with me, now he went back in the closet. That's the effect that I have on men. He was like, I'm not sure if I'm gay. And then he was like, nope. He did an about face. So now, yeah. Yeah, just another reason to cry, Bill.
Oh,
just add it onto the fucking list. Yeah.
Maybe.
He was the last time.
Maybe it gave him so much joy that he was like, I did it. I can just be a boring straight man in the suburbs now.
He's Armenian.
Oh, well then they fucking kill. You try to change an Armenian straight guy, that's pretty ambitious. Because you could die.
I know. I know. I'm a hero.
You've heard the story of the guy who went to his proctologist.
No.
The proctologist gave him like a exam with the two fingers, gave him a prostate massage, and the guy came. And then he went back like a week later and fucking shot the doctor.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I'm laughing, but it's just fucking hilarious is probably why I'm laughing about it. But it's a true story.
Dr. He had rough fingers.
He just went home and just fucking, I guess he just thought about it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't believe I came so hard with those fingers. Right. And they went back there like, fuck you.
Right. They had to repaint the walls in the doctor's office. Everything was ruined. Everything was sticky. He's probably ashamed. Not even about being gay. He's like, I ruined that fucking office.
Oh, fucking Nicky, you're fucking the best, man. Listen, I'm going to let you go. We've been doing it for a while, so I really appreciate you coming. And it's
Thank
so great to get
me.
To know you. I think you're fucking awesome. I can't wait to see what happens to your career, buddy.
I love you, Bill.
I love you too, Nicky. All right, bye-bye.